Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday, June 24th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's not often that you can welcome a Hall of Famer to the program, and today we welcome Food Friday Hall of Famer Deanna Fox to the show. You know, she's been on, she's talked about pies and various other savory treats. Well, today we talk about summer desserts. So you got Deanna Fox, food and agriculture writer, Fox on Food on Facebook. She's an expert. She's a gal about town. We'll eat some summer desserts, and we'll talk to you. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Food Friday, don't you know? 800-348-2551. Strawberry shortcake, blueberry slump. I've been in a blueberry slump for several years now. It's all coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello, once again, welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, last week we talked about berries and all the great things you can do with them. Beth Linsky was here and Dale Isla Riggs. This week, we're going to kick it up a notch and discuss all the sweet things that come with summertime. Pies and slumps. What the hell is a slump anyway? We'll find out in a minute. Cakes, creams, you name it. The expert in the studio today can help you bring the sweets of summer to life in the city, country, anywhere in between. Deanna Fox is a food and agriculture writer, regularly featured in the Times Union and all over Albany. She's also the author of the blog Silly Goose Farm and the Fox on Food on Facebook. Fox on Food on Facebook, which I recommend. It's very nice. She teaches culinary classes around the region. Give us a call now if you want to talk to Deanna Fox. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, or tweet us at WAMCVoxPop, or go to Facebook, right? Facebook.com/WAMC Radio. While you're looking up Fox on Food, you can go to WAMC Radio. Deanna Fox, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a while now.
Yeah, it's been a couple of months.
So what's new?
Nothing. I mean, well, berries are in, and that's exciting.
Really?
That's my whole life.
We had so many, you would have loved it. We had so many strawberries in here last week. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Well, you did pretty good today.
Well, thank you.
What did you bring? It's looks like a
classic.
Deluxe.
No, it's classic strawberry shortcake.
So good.
And with the strawberries, while they were kind of macerating with the sugar, I put in some Thai basil because I accidentally planted Thai basil this year.
You didn't know?
I didn't know. That's what I was planting. I thought it was a mint. And it's like, oh, no, that's Thai basil.
Oh, that's cool.
So, which is great. It gives a little bit of a peppery, licorice taste, which is really interesting.
And was this like happenstance, or did you see a recipe where they've used this?
Just happenstance. But, you know, basil and strawberry is really good together.
Yeah.
I love strawberries with thyme is really good. With bay leaf is really good. Mint, of course. And it's, you know, you just try it out. See where it goes. So I tried it out, and it turned out okay.
It turned out better than okay. Yeah. And, of course, one of the keys is not, again, it's a shortcut, but we'll use those spongy little pastry, round pastry things. That's not the way to do it for real.
No, I don't think so either. I use my classic biscuit recipe. I just adapt it with a little bit of sugar into the batter, and that's it. And then I sprinkle some sugar on top, and I bake them, and...
Wow, it's really good. And you gave me so much here. I have no idea if I'll be able to finish it.
And you can do it.
There's
I've
ice
seen
cream,
you eat,
too, right?
Yeah, there's a little bit of vanilla ice cream, and then there's a dollop of creme fraiche on top. And I've seen you pack away some food on the show.
Oh, you know, I can do that.
Yeah.
Very rarely, though. When the calls start coming in, I might have a chance.
But, right.
So what's a slump?
Right. So a slump. So interesting. So there's this neat, you know, homespun desserts in America are very colloquial. They're very regional, and so everybody has a different version of kind of the same thing. So everyone has a cobbler. You know, you might have a mixed berry cobbler or an apple cobbler or a peach cobbler. A peach blueberry cobbler is, I mean, I look forward to that every single year. But a cobbler in the Northeast is very different than a cobbler in the South, which is like a biscuit topping. A cobbler in the Midwest is almost like a latticed pie crust topping in a 13-by-9 casserole. But something that we call it here, too, is a slump or a grunt. So if you go up to Maine and you are given a blueberry grunt, it's like a cobbler. Or if you're given a slump in Massachusetts, it's a cobbler.
Or it's the Red Sox.
There you see.
A
New England
the Red slump.
Sox, right? Oh, my goodness. Of course,
right.
We work baseball into this show.
I'll shut up now. Go ahead.
But no, so it's basically, it's just a wet batter, a sticky batter that you kind of dollop on top of, you know, a fruit filling. So when I make a slump or a cobbler or a grunt, whatever you
want to
call it.
What about a buckle?
Buckle is something different. Buckle
really?
Is like a cake.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I'll shut up again.
If so a regional thing. So a few years ago, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, Ginsburg's Foods down in the Hudson Valley released their 100th anniversary cookbook. And there was a blueberry buckle recipe in that book. So if you go to a library or you find that book somewhere, there's a fantastic...
Buckle is big in my family.
Yes.
But it's not the same as a slump.
It's definitely not the same.
So it's kind of like what you do with when you use Bisquick. Sometimes you want to make a pastry, you'll just dump the Bisquick on the top?
For a slump, yeah. So it's like a drop biscuit.
Yeah.
Yep, it's not a wet. So what we're having today with our strawberry shortcake is a rolled out, cut out biscuit. This is not a drop biscuit.
Yeah, no, it's the real thing.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. Deanna Fox is our guest, 800-348-2551. And over to Ron on the Mass Pike. Ron, you hands-free?
Yes, I am.
You are on with Deanna Fox.
Okay. Holiday weekend coming up. Any desserts that I can put on the grill?
Oh, so many. Do you have a cast iron pan?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what you're going to want to use. You want to get that thing, you know, pretty hot. Get it right over high heat. Start it on high heat on your grill. And then make your cobblers in that.
Oh, cool.
Take some blueberries. Take like, 2 cups of blueberries and maybe a lemon, a nice juicy lemon that you cut in half and squeeze that in. Make sure you catch the seeds and add maybe a cup. Taste your blueberries to see how sweet they are. If they're real tart, you're going to need more sugar. But just some like 3 parts of white sugar and 1 part of brown sugar just to give it kind of a depth of flavor so it doesn't taste really saccharine. And let that kind of bubble and cook down. And then make a drop biscuit topping, and then just dollop that on. Turn your heat on your grill maybe down to medium high. Close the top and just give it 15 minutes, and you'll have this like really luscious, beautiful blueberry dessert. But another thing is stone fruit. If you can get nectarines or peaches, Georgia peaches in this area are really starting to come into, you know, you find them more readily. So cut them in half, take the pit out. Don't worry about taking the skin off. Just make sure they're clean and grill them. And then drizzle some balsamic vinegar on them.
Oh.
Yeah, and maybe just a little bit of honey. A little honey and a little balsamic vinegar, and then maybe some whipped cream or some creme fraiche, and that's perfect every time. If you have some rosemary in your garden, throw that on top as a garnish. Perfect.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to try them both.
All right,
Ron,
great.
Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. Thanks to Ron's call. I had more of the strawberry shortcake. Mm-hmm. And that Lithuanian basil is phenomenal.
Lithuanian?
What is it?
Thai.
It's really good.
Although, is there Lithuanian basil? Because that would be really interesting.
If there is, you'll probably plant it by mistake.
By mistake, yes.
Well, that's great. So you would take a peach, mm-hmm. take out the pit, mm-hmm. basically cut it in half and throw it on the grill face down?
Face down. Yep, and get some really nice grill marks. You know, keep a little olive oil by your grill with a little silicone pastry brush and just oil up, slick up your grates on your grill so it doesn't stick.
Mm.
And put those right on there, face up, and just get those really beautiful grill marks. And it'll be, you know, it'll be soft, but it won't be so sopping wet that it'll fall right through your grate on your grill.
See, I'd be afraid. I have a charcoal grill. That's going to be tricky.
That's smoky. No, it'd be nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you butter them before you put them on?
Yeah, or just, you know, a little olive oil.
But I like butter.
Butter might burn.
You think so?
Yeah.
Would
you
it get brown and crispy?
I think you get a lot of flare-ups with the butter more than you would the olive oil.
Hmm.
I'm not sure.
Possibly. 800-348-2551 is the phone number, or voxpop@wamc.org. If you have a summer dessert you'd like to share, or if you have a question for the expert, Deanna Fox, who's here. What are you working on right now?
Oh, I have a couple of really good stories coming up. I have a big series coming up about local beef.
Oh, great.
Or, you know, not necessarily local to this area, but why people buy local beef, if it's any better than what you get in the store, pros and cons, grass-fed versus grain-fed, those kinds of things.
That's a great question. Yeah. We've had that discussion on this show before about grass-fed and grain-fed, uh-huh. and there seems to be, and there are a lot of experts out there, kind of a divided field.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like grass-fed, but they acknowledge that it tastes a little different.
Right. A lot of the grass-fed that you find is grain-finished, which means that the cows are out grazing on whatever grass, alfalfa, clover, for most of the year. And then 2 weeks before slaughter, roughly, they would be eating grain.
Why would they do that?
It helps to create more marbling, create more fat in the meat. It does give the meat a different texture and a different color. It makes it more red. And it does increase different nutrients in the meat, so it does give it a different flavor.
So, I mean, what's your personal preference on that?
I don't know. I don't know if I have a personal preference yet. I think it's more in how you prepare the meat. You have to start off with a really great product. But a lot of it is how you prepare the meat. You can take a really, you know, a lesser cut of meat and make it really great by just doctoring it a little bit. And really, the trick is, if you want a really, really great steak, you can take a London broil and make it a fantastic steak. A day, or at least the morning before you cook it, you know, take it out of the fridge, unwrap it, and sprinkle pretty generously some kosher salt, coarse kosher salt on both sides.
Yeah.
And put that in the fridge on a plate, on a rimmed plate, and don't cover it. Don't put anything on
really, it. Really? Why?
So what's happening is that salt is going to tenderize the meat a little bit, and it's going to pull off not really a lot of the juice inside that's going to make it tender, but it's going to pull off some surface moisture. And the air in the refrigerator is circulating around that, and it's going to help to pull off that moisture. Which
what if
means,
your fridge is disgusting?
Well, clean your fridge.
And then do it.
And then do it.
So we marinate. So you wouldn't recommend broils all the time, but we marinate for like 24 hours.
And you could do that. So what happens when you do it this way is that when you take it out of the fridge, you know, 20 minutes before you want to cook it, pat it dry with a paper towel on both sides. And then you can put a little bit more salt and some kosher pepper, kosher salt and a little bit more fresh cracked pepper on the outside. And then you sear it or you grill it. And because there's very little moisture, you're not steaming the meat. You are synthesizing the protein in the meat into carbon and getting that awesome, awesome char, which is so good.
It's like the science formula. Let's take a break. Deanna Fox is our guest. It's Food Friday. Yeah, the topic is dessert, but we'll always talk about meat here when we can. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back.
Support comes from Hudson Farmers Market, 6th and Columbia Street, Hudson, providing products and seasonal produce for more than 30 growers and producers, Saturdays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. through November. Hudson Farmer Market, ny.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. Viva Fresh Pasta, 30 years and 30 wines by the glass, European cuisine infused with flavors of the world. Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork. VivaFreshPasta.com. The Chef's Shop in Great Barrington, celebrating 25 years, offering tools and services for cooking enthusiasts, including Zwilling knives, La Crusa, cookware, cooking classes, and knife sharpening. TheChefShop.com. And Bread and Butter, newly opened restaurant in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit, hash, and maple sriracha pork belly. BreadandButterAmherst.com.
Hello again, boys and girls. It's Food Friday on a beautiful Friday in June. Ray Graff here with Deanna Fox, our guest today. We talk desserts, summer desserts specifically. And oh my word, we have a strawberry shortcake here. And I got to tell you, I had a chance to have a little more during the break. Fabulous. And it's so simple.
Yeah, it's really easy.
Now, the ice cream is something we've never, you know, in my household, I don't ever recall doing that. But the ice cream is a great touch.
Oh, yeah. I love any excuse I have to put ice cream on something.
And that's your own? You make your own ice cream?
I usually make ice cream.
Really make ice cream? I was only kidding.
No, I usually do. Ice cream's not that tough. You have to have, you know, equipment to make it.
Yeah.
Because you have to churn it. But if you don't want to churn it and you make it, you just have semifreddo.
Then what's that? Something in The Godfather, right?
Unchurned ice cream.
Ice cream. Well, that sounds easy. No, this is delicious, though.
Thank you.
So you put... Now, quickly, for those who are bakers among us, give us quickly your recipe for the biscuit.
Right. So this is just my basic biscuit recipe that I augmented with a little sugar. So it's 4 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons of baking powder, 2 teaspoons of kosher salt.
Right.
And then 2 tablespoons of just white granulated sugar to make it sweet. And you mix that together. And then you cut in 2/3 of a cup of cold butter, unsalted butter. So if you're doing it by a stick, that would be a stick plus almost 3 tablespoons. So a full stick of butter plus another 3 tablespoons. From there, so you mix that together with a pastry blender or even your fingers. You want the butter to, it's a very technical term, to look like peas and sand.
What?
So you'll have some pieces of butter that are like the size of a pea, and then you'll have these little grainy pieces of butter that mixed with the flour. So once you get to that point, you're going to measure out 2 cups of milk. Don't use a dairy milk in this recipe, because the acid for like a rice milk or soy milk or an almond milk is different.
Yeah.
And it's going to make your baking powder react differently.
Okay.
So don't use buttermilk. Just use a regular whole milk, skim milk. It doesn't matter the fat content. And you're going to pour not quite all of it in. You're going to pour about 1.5 cups in and go in and mix it. Feel it with your hands. And you might need to add the rest. You might be good there. You might need to add even more than that. It really depends on how much moisture is in the air, how fresh your flour is. And then once that's mixed and it's soft, it's wet, but it's not too sticky, on a well-floured surface, you pat it out to about 1/2 inch thick with your hands, and then you fold it on top of itself and fold it over again and pat it out. Do that twice more, and then you cut straight down with a biscuit cutter. Don't twist, because when you twist...
Can you use a cup?
You can use a cup. It doesn't matter what you use. Just don't twist. When you twist, you compact those layers together, and you twist them together so that they don't rise up and create those luscious, beautiful layers.
Like you have here.
Right. And then the oven should be at 425. You'll take 1 egg mixed with a little bit of water or milk, like a tablespoon. Mix that together. Brush it over the tops. Add a little bit more sugar. Bake them for 15 minutes and that's it. And they freeze really well.
And that's the easy. That's easy then.
That's easy.
But not for me.
No,
you,
it's
you
really
lost
easy.
Me at like one step.
It takes 10 minutes.
All right. Back to the phones we go. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Penny in Saratoga. Penny.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I've already frozen 2 gallons of strawberries, but now I have 1 quart and I'd like to save them to eat fresh. What is the best way to preserve them so you don't get fruit flies and they don't rot?
That's a great question. So in your sink, make sure your sink is really clean and put in the stopper in the drain and fill up your sink about halfway full with cold water and add in 1/4 to 1/3 cup of just distilled white vinegar.
Oh.
Switch that around and then put your berries in there and kind of just, you know, agitate your berries a little bit with your hand.
Right.
So that any loose debris might fall off and kind of sink to the bottom. And just let those sit for like 5 minutes. And the vinegar, there's just enough vinegar in there to kind of kill off any bacteria that might be on your berries. And it just helps them stay fresh for like up to 1 week longer than you normally would have.
Wow, and that doesn't affect the taste?
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Sure, Penny.
Thank you
good
for
luck.
The call. Bye. 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. Ray Graff here, joined by Deanna Fox, who you can find on Fox on Food at Facebook. How's that working out for you?
Great. It's a really great way to just connect with people. It's an immediate way of people that have come into my cooking classes, you know, they get home, they get stuck on something, they can throw up a message on the Facebook page and, you know, we can walk them through it a little
bit. So, like, I heard you describe the easy way to make the biscuits and I'm totally confused. Okay, so note to self, go there. This one came in via email from Amy. What can I make with Bertie and puff pastry? I don't know what Bertie is or who Bertie is. What can I make with Bertie and puff pastry for dessert this weekend?
I don't know what Bertie is either, but
well,
puff
here,
pastry.
Maybe it's a typo. Yeah. Maybe you can figure out what it was supposed to be.
With Bertie, B-E-R-T-I-E. I don't know. But with puff pastry, you can do lots of things. You can make individual hand pies.
Individual hand pies.
Yep. You would just cut squares, essentially, of your puff pastry and make a pie filling. Find a pie filling recipe that you like and brush the edges of your puff pastry with a little bit of the egg wash that I just talked about. Put a dollop of your pie filling in there, fold it over and crease or pinch and seal, crimp the edges and bake it like you would a pie. Bake it at, you know, 400 for probably 15 minutes and there you go. You could also make a really lovely just little tart. So roll out your puff pastry and transfer it onto a baking sheet. And take your knife and you're just going to score. You're going to come in about 1 inch from the sides and score a little mark. You're not going to cut all the way through. You're just going to score.
Very lightly?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that you have a, well, you know, you're going to cut through the top layer of the puff pastry, but you're not going to cut all the way through.
Okay.
So that you have about an inch border. And then you could put down some mascarpone cheese or some of this creme fraiche and just layer some berries on top. Sprinkle with mint. Bake it for at 425 for 20 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
And that edge that you didn't put anything on is going to puff up and create almost like a pizza crust.
You can make mini mince pies, right?
Oh, no, not mince pies.
You don't like mince pie. Didn't we have this conversation once?
Yes.
800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is our guest. And let's go back to the phones. And Chuck in Hudson. Chuck, you're on. Chuck, your line sounds terrible.
Hello.
Chuck, your line is awful.
What is the difference between sea salt, kosher salt, and regular salt?
Okay, we're going to pot you down because there's a 60-cycle hum.
Yeah.
The difference between kosher, sea salt, and regular salt.
All salt starts off as NaCl. It's all sodium chloride. The difference comes when you add mineral to it or you add a different flake structure. So sea salt is evaporated seawater. So whatever minerals are in the sea where that water is extracted, it's going to have those minerals. It's going to have that taste. So fleur de sel, you know, French sea salts, Mediterranean sea salts.
They all
are
have
gonna
different
taste,
characters.
Right. Kosher salt and table salt differ in the grain structure. So regular salt is table salt is like a Lego brick. It's like a building block. And when you measure them, they stack onto each other really nicely. And there's very little air that gets between each piece of salt. Whereas with kosher salt, it's a very irregular flake. It was made for the koshering process of meat to draw out blood.
Oh, I see.
So it's crafted in a way where it sticks onto the meat really well. Chefs like it because it's easy to pick up. It's easy to see. It sticks to things really well. But when you measure it, there's a lot of air in between each piece of salt because they're very irregular. So the difference is to get the same salinity, to get the same salt taste, you need twice as much kosher salt as you do table salt. So if you see a recipe that says kosher salt and you only have table salt at home, you're going to use half as much table salt.
All right, Chuck, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. By the way, we have very helpful listeners. So we had the question from Amy and mentioned what she's going to do with Bertie and a puff pastry, which you can make your own joke up there. We had an email saying maybe she meant berries.
Could be. Berries. Yeah. So there you go. Do the creme fraiche. You can sweeten it with a little honey or a little sugar and just spread that on the inside of your puff pastry and then layer the berries on top. Bake it. When it comes out, just sprinkle some mint on it and it's perfect.
Try the Vietnamese basil.
Thai basil.
Thai basil.
Thai basil.
800-348-2551 is our number. Deanna Fox, our Hall of Famer guest today. Howard in Lenox, Mass. Howard, you're on.
Hi, I'm a huge fan of the show. And every summer, my mother invites all of my family to her home in the Berkshires. And I would like to know, what's a good banana blueberry smoothie to make for 20 people?
Okay, right. Hang in there, Howard.
Well, you got to make it in batches, Howard. And a good place to start is to freeze your bananas first. So start with everything really cold and frozen. That will help. A good dollop of yogurt, like Greek yogurt, is really great. Use a little bit of honey instead of sugar to sweeten it. And if you need liquid, you could use milk, but try adding, you know, orange juice. Or if you made strawberry jam or something earlier in the week and you have any syrup left over, you could add that in. But really, to make it a good smoothie, start with everything really, really cold.
So freeze the bananas and freeze what you say, blueberries?
Yeah, the blueberries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, Howard. Hey, Howard, you still
Thank
there?
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Howard.
Thanks
yeah.
for calling. We appreciate it. I think that might be the youngest caller we've ever had. Or
I like it. Get him early. Catch him early.
Maybe. Yeah. Or maybe Howard is just at the helium. I don't know. Let's go to Linda in East Greenbush. Linda, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to ask you if you could repeat the biscuit recipe, because I got most of it down, but I just didn't get one or two things.
Oh, see, she lost me after the very first thing, so let's hear it again.
Sure. I think that Jess, the producer, is putting it up on the website. So if you go onto the WAMC website, I think it should be there. But it's 4 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons of baking powder, 2 tablespoons of sugar, just white granulated sugar, 2 teaspoons of kosher salt. And you mix those things together, and then you cut in 2/3 of a cup of unsalted butter. And you want it to be very cold, so it gets that's how you get those nice flakes. And then when that is all cut in and mixed in together, you add milk. So you start off with 2 cups of milk and add only 1.5 cups to start, and then slightly increase it as you go to make sure that your dough isn't too wet. If your dough is too wet, there's no place for the steam from the butter to go, and so you get a really dense, sad biscuit. You don't get a light, fluffy biscuit. That's why you add it in slowly. And then you roll it out. Just use your hands. Don't use a rolling pin. Use your hands. Just pat it out on a well-floured surface. Fold it over on itself twice and pat it out. Do that again. Pat it out. And then, you know, with a 3-inch or 3.5-inch biscuit cutter, you cut straight down. Don't twist. Put it on your baking sheet at 425. You can do an egg wash on top and sprinkle some more sugar if you want. And raw sugar looks really nice if you have raw sugar. And bake it for like 15 minutes. And when they're nice and golden brown and puffy and flaky, that's when you pull them out. And if you want to freeze them, they freeze really well. So if you want to make a batch now and then have them all summer, just let them cool and then put them in a Ziploc bag and put them in the freezer, and they're perfect.
All right, Linda?
Well, it's a great show. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. The best thing about, and by the way, you gave me a monumental amount of strawberry shortcake here. Okay, so only made a tiny dent in the first half hour.
I thought
you
had such a prodigious appetite.
I do, but you know, you have to host the show. But the best part about using the biscuits, the real way to do a strawberry shortcake, is after a little while, there are the soggy parts with the strawberries.
Absolutely.
It's really good.
It's good. Yeah.
And so what's all this about the peas and the...
Peas and sand.
Yeah,
right.
What's all that again?
So
You didn't tell Linda that.
I know. But if you go on the website, you'll find it. So it's... I call it peas and sand because the person who taught me how to make pie called it peas and sand. So I don't know what else to call it. But basically, when you're mixing your butter with a pastry cutter or a pastry blender into your flour, you know when you're done, when all the bits of butter are either the size of like spring peas or they're gritty like sand. So when you get to the
any combination
point,
of that. So in other words, if they're all too small, bad things happen.
Yeah, squeeze it together and get some clumps in there. But peas and sand is kind of what you're going for, and that will give you kind of uniform butter, you know, disbursement throughout your biscuit.
I'm confused. But why couldn't you just melt the butter and pour it in?
Because melted butter reacts differently in the oven. So when your butter is really cold or even frozen, it expands, it kind of explodes, it kind of releases its steam in like a big pop. And that's how you get those big, fat, beautiful layers, those bubbles of air, you know, that when you pull the biscuit apart, it's like the Pillsbury commercial, just, everybody just, you know, whimpers with joy. If it's soft, it doesn't really do that pop. It kind of oozes.
Yeah.
And so you get like a wide, fat, flat biscuit. And it's not light. It's a dense biscuit. And when it's melted, you've completely defeated the purpose.
Okay, so cold is the way to go.
Cold. That's why you do cold.
It's much tougher to work with, though.
Yeah, not so bad. You could do this in a food processor if you wanted to. Just pulse. Use the pulse. Don't just let it, you know, whir around, because that blade creates heat and creates friction. And that will start to soften your butter.
Our guest is Deanna Fox, who you can find at Food on Fox on Facebook.
Close.
No?
Fox on Food.
Food on Fox.
That's a different show.
Okay. 800-348-2551. It's, of course, Fox on Food on Facebook.
There it is.
And if you want to give us a call, you can. If you have a dessert tip you want to share with us, or maybe pick the brain of Deanna Fox here, it's a good time to do that. What about chocolate? Chocolate summer things. What do you got?
Oh, I mean, you could do like my favorite chocolate thing to eat that's so quick and easy, that's no cook, is like a chocolate hazelnut mousse, so a Nutella mousse.
Yeah.
So you take a cup of heavy cream and 1/4 cup of sugar and a little bit of vanilla extract, and you whip it together in your, you know, with a hand mixer or your KitchenAid or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
From there, you fold in 1 cup of Nutella and 1/2 cup of mascarpone cream, which is like an Italian cream cheese. It's kind of sweet.
Yeah, nice.
And you just mix that together and get it nice and airy, make sure everything is incorporated. And then you can just chill it until you're ready.
That's
and it's
good.
Really good if you have strawberries in your fridge, because to dip strawberries through that and eat that.
You know, some people really dig strawberries and chocolate. Yeah. Now, I love chocolate. I love strawberries. Not keen on the combination.
Is that wrong? Well, maybe try the Nutella mousse and see. Might change your mind.
You got the nutty edge there, too.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones again. 800 888-848-2551. I'm going senile. It's now 3 weeks after the fund drive, and I'm still occasionally giving the fund drive number.
The wrong number.
This is bad. Yeah. This is very bad. Yeah. All right, we have to wait because we have this new phone system, and so Kevin in Springfield is on the line, but I don't think he's been released to us yet.
Uh-oh. So, Kevin, we're waiting.
That's all right. Tell you what, let's go to break early, and then by that time, Kevin will be ready. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Deanna Fox is our guest. Get in now if you want to ask her a question.
Support for WAMC comes from River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Terrapin Restaurant and Bistro, serving mac and cheese, build-your-own nachos and sandwiches, natural beef burgers, tapas, original cocktails, craft beer, and local wine, lunch, dinner, and late night, terrapinrestaurant.com. Gloriosa and Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. New barn wedding venue and heated antique greenhouse. Offering tailored catering, garden to vase flowers, and four bed and breakfast rooms. GloriosaCO.com. Stommel Stringed Instruments, downtown Amherst and Poughkeepsie. Providing sales, service, and rentals of violins, violas, cellos, and bows. Restorations and appraisals. Open Tuesday through Saturday. StammelString.com. And Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts. A family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons. SpiritHAUS.com.
It's Vox Pop. It is a Food Friday. Vox Pop Food Friday Hall of Famer Deanna Fox is joining us today. And we talk desserts here, and we have been, you know, slowly making it through the vast mountain of strawberry shortcakes here as we talk. Let's go back to the phones. Kevin in Springfield. Kevin, you there?
Yeah, how you doing? How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Thank you.
So first time listening, I've been listening to a radio station here and there since I've been back from the service, but first time ever listened to Miss Fox.
Oh, she's the best.
I like to ask a few things. Is this something that's continuous on the radio with her, like once a week?
Every couple of months she's on.
Every couple of months. Okay, so I'm going to ask as many questions as I can then.
Well, I mean, you know, a couple. You know, we do Food Friday every week. Deanna's a regular guest, and she'll be on every 3 or 4 months.
Okay, good. My question is this. Because it's summertime, trying to lose a little weight, what is some good desserts that she can know? Something simple. I'm not much of a baker, but try to stay away from lemonade because all that's sugar. Mm-hmm. Try to stay away from all the bakeries because all the sugar, right? Mm-hmm. Is there any clues or any thoughts on her part about what to eat for the summer that's low on calories but yet good?
Yeah, you know, if you get berries or any kind of fruit that's in season, you're buying it when it's at, you know, the height of freshness, the height of when it's in season. It's really sweet on its own, and you don't need to add much to it. If you want to stay away from white sugar or, you know, really any kind of processed sugar, honey is a great alternative. And just cooking down some strawberries with a little bit of honey, and then throw some herbs in there. Put a little bit of kosher salt, just a tiny, tiny pinch of salt in. And add in some herbs. Add in some rosemary or some basil
or some
thyme.
Basil.
Thai basil. You Thai know, basil. Why right. not? Which is actually surprisingly not that hard to find.
Okay.
And serve that over, you know, some yogurt. Add a little honey to your yogurt would be great.
Flavored yogurt? Or I heard by the organic Greek yogurt plain, because the other stuff is all full of preservatives. Is that true?
It depends.
Stay away from that?
I mean, it depends on the brand you're buying. There's a lot of, even in, you know, run-of-the-mill grocery stores now, because yogurt in New York State and in the Northeast is having such a boon. It's a boom period. There's so many different brands. They're just, you know, milk and culture, and it's yogurt. And if you want to do a flavor, that's fine. The Greek versus regular yogurt, really, that's just a matter of texture.
Yeah.
Greek yogurt has been strained out, so there's less moisture. So if you just kind of pick some up on your spoon, Greek yogurt makes a nice little mound, whereas regular yogurt kind of settles and falls and oozes a little bit. So it's just a texture thing. It's whatever feels good to you.
Hey, Kevin, where were you stationed in the service?
No, Korea, South Korea.
Hey, man, welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be back for the summer.
Well, I hope you're a regular caller here on Food Friday. We appreciate it. Let's go over to Susan in Kingston. Susan.
Yes. Hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I have a question in regards to mulberries. Mm-hmm. You can never find mulberries in any form anywhere, not even jam. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I guess it's because they don't keep very well, but I absolutely love them. And there was two mulberry trees out here in a backyard where I live in an apartment complex that were cut down a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't have access to blueberries, I mean mulberries anymore.
Right. You know, that's the thing, too, because I'll see people post on social media. They're like, oh, look at this awesome blackberry tree. It's like, no, those are mulberries. They're not blue, they're not blackberries, but they do look like blackberries. They're slightly different color, but they look like the long.
Yeah, and there's white ones, too.
Yeah. So are you asking where to find them?
You know, I never see them in stores. I never see them as a jam. Is this just like not a popular thing or something?
I think it's just probably one of those things. People aren't out foraging anymore. Really, you know, you'll go to a U-Pick place or you'll go to the farm stand or the farmer's market and get them. But people don't recognize them as mulberries. And so they, you know, they'll see this tree and they'll not think anything of it and they'll chop it down. But there are some places like in Saratoga County, I think there's a few places that will have mulberries. So you just have to, you know, just do a Google search and find a berry farm close to you and ask them if they have some. And if they do, ask them to set aside a couple of, you know, pines for you.
I'm not sure I ever had one. What do they taste like?
Oh, my God, they're delicious.
Yeah. They're, you know, they have the texture like a blackberry.
Yeah.
You know, they have that like that seedy, they have a lot of pectin in them, so they make really good jam. They're kind of tart, or like tart sweet kind of flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
Well, good luck, Susan.
Yeah, thank you. The darker ones are sweeter.
Mm-hmm, right.
If they're a little bit red, they're not quite ripe.
Right.
And the white ones have to be like super white.
Right.
So what do you make with them, Susan, when you can get them?
I just pop them on the mouth and eat them. But I've made like little turnovers before, mm-hmm. and mini pies. And I even put them in cookies one time.
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
Well,
yeah,
I guess Saratoga really County is the place to be then. It's
I guess
kind of
so.
A long, it's a long schlep from Kingston, though. I don't know.
Oh, are you in Kingston? Oh, you know, there's some great berry farms down there. You know, there's a ton. I think in Hudson, there might be a few places that have them. So just, you know, do a Google search someplace. You pick places close to you and see what you can find.
And Susan, listen in, because I'll bet you somebody will call in and say, oh, I'm near Kingston and I know where you can find mulberries. So
I hope so, because this is like you're very scarce. I'm going to a strawberry festival tomorrow in Fonda, so I'm thinking, I wonder what they'll have other than strawberries.
Hey, give it a shot. Hey,
take the back roads and see if you
I know what the trees look like.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Susan, thanks for the call and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is our guest. I think, I don't know if that was the same caller from last week, but Beth Linsky talked about mulberries, and I can't remember exactly her answer, but she said there might have been one or two around that where you can actually go and buy them.
Right, right. Yeah, I think it's just a thing. You know, people are so far removed from sourcing their own food that mulberries are one of those things that have just gone by the wayside.
You know, maybe I have had them and I thought they were blackberries. I don't know.
Yeah, because they do look like the long blackberries.
But they're on big trees?
Yeah, they do. They grow in a bush or in a tree. Yeah.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah. Our guest here, Deanna Fox, 800-348-2551, Fox on Food. I hear you're going to maybe do a cookbook?
I'm working on a cookbook.
So how long has that been in the works?
I mean, it's been a continuous process for a long time because it's just an amalgam, a conglomeration of all the things that I've been teaching, all the tips, you know, that I've picked up along the way in my writing about food that I try to pass on to students.
Wouldn't it be easier just to take your best articles and put them in a compendium?
Yes, I could do that.
Why don't you make that your second book?
That'll be book two.
So this book is recipes and tips. Mm-hmm. You must have so much more than you need. How do you find and say, this one I want to put in?
So when I approach cooking, it's not so much about the recipe. It's about the technique behind it, because recipes come and go. You can add Thai basil into strawberry shortcake, or you can't.
That's true.
Either way is fine. But it's really understanding why the biscuit works and why you macerate the berry more than actually, you know, this amount of sugar to that amount of flour.
You what the berry?
Macerate. So
what is that?
So anybody who's made jam before, or maybe even strawberry shortcake, you've probably heard this term. It's basically where you just take sugar and your berries or whatever fruit you're using and you mix it together and let it sit, and that sugar breaks down the cells of the berry, and it creates like its own syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And Jane in Greenfield Center. Jane, you're on.
Hello. I was served a dessert a while back, and it was a strawberry shortcake, but instead of a biscuit, it was a sort of a biscuit-like cake that had cornmeal in it.
Interesting.
And I wondered if you would have some idea of how to make such a thing. It was absolutely delicious.
Yes, I would definitely tell you to look for a buckle recipe, and take out maybe a half cup of the flour and incorporate fine cornmeal, and then use strawberry. You can incorporate strawberries in it if you want, and that would be awesome. That would be really good. And you can cook it like in a cast iron pan, or you could cook it. You could cook it in a 9x9 dish, but
could you cook it in a cast iron skillet on a grill outdoors?
It might be a little bit harder to regulate it on a grill, but I would definitely give it a try. If you had like a Dutch oven,
I do.
Yeah, if you had that right down in the coals, you could definitely do it. That's like Girl Scout 101. So you could nestle.
Sounds great.
Nestle it, wrap it. You could wrap it in foil if you wanted to first, and nestle it right down in the coals if you have a fire going. And, it'll take like 30 or 35 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrific. Thank you.
And Jane, I don't know if you can find it on our website, WAMC.org, but if you go to Food Friday, the last time Deanna was on, we did a show about cast iron cooking.
We did.
And so you brought in some sort of confection that was in a cast iron. You don't remember?
I don't.
Okay.
I brought in cornbread.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Jane. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Bye. Over to, let's see who's next here. Let's go to Chuck. Hey, Chuck in Hudson, you're on. Oh, Chuck, your line is bad. Oh, boy, that's not good. Sorry, Chuck. Terrible, terrible. Sound like there's a ground problem in his phone.
Yeah.
You know? Let's go over to somebody. Wireless caller, you're on.
Hi, I just wanted to pass a message along. It's too soon for mulberries. They won't be ready for a couple more weeks. We have a really huge tree in our yard, and the birds are eating them, even though they're not quite cooked yet.
Where are you calling from?
Northampton, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. And so,
but they usually don't get ripe. And this valley had a lot of mulberries because of the silk mills from 100 years ago. But it's too soon to get them.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call.
Good luck.
Bye now. 800-348-2551. So, this new phone system, what do you think? You're seeing the monitor that I'm seeing.
I'm fascinated. I love being able to see it in real time. I feel like I'm able to experience it the way you experience it.
But I see a bunch of callers, and then they disappear.
Yeah.
And I see their names, and there's somebody there now, but I can't go to him.
I know.
Because somebody in the other room is on the computer.
Well, that just gives us more time to chat about whatever we need.
What do you want
to
talk about?
One dessert I've been making a lot this summer is eel flottant, which is...
With the eels, right?
Yeah. I-L-E.
I see.
Which is...
Because I don't like eels.
It's like floating island.
Yeah.
And so you make a creme anglaise, and then you take meringue cookies that you make, and you put that on, and then you take stewed berries, and you drizzle that over the top, and it's amazing.
Mm, yes. And you make that a lot.
I do.
Do you ever sleep?
You know, why sleep when you can eat so much good food?
I don't know. Sleep sounds pretty good, too. Let's go to Bob in Niskayuna. Bob, you're on.
Hey, guys, I got about a dozen jars of grape jam that I made last year. All the seals were solid, and I just want to know, they never solidified. So whether I need more sugar, more pectin, am I going to be able to reboil them and... get something out of this.
Can you turn your radio down a little bit, Bob?
Bob,
could you turn the radio down just a little bit, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay, man.
I didn't even realize it.
No big deal.
I'll just turn it off, actually.
That's good. That's what I always try to get people to do, turn the radio off. All right, Deanna, what do you think?
Yeah. So I probably wouldn't recook it. Did you make it in the fall?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't recook it now and try to re-can it. It could be a pectin issue. It could be your pectin to sugar ratio. It depends on what pectin you are using and what kind of sugar. But you could try to recook it with a little bit more sugar, or just maybe try not adding anything. Just try cooking it for a little bit longer. Put a salad plate or a bread plate and a spoon in your freezer and make sure they're really cold. and cook down your jelly or your jam again. And when you think you got a good consistency, take the spoon and the plate out of the freezer and scoop out some of the jam mixture with your spoon, your frozen spoon, and put it on your frozen plate and let it sit for a minute. And then hold your plate vertically. And if it goes really, really, really slowly, if it's like, you know, barely hanging on there, that's your set test. That's how you know if it's done or not.
Amazing.
But I wouldn't recan it. I would just try to keep it in your fridge and
okay.
Eat it. Yeah. But also you could cook it down with more pectin and then lay it out into like a half sheet pan or a 13x9 pan that's been dusted with a mixture of cornstarch and confectioner sugar and lay it out and let that harden. And then you have like jelly candy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So like almost like gummy treats.
Is that Ray in the background there?
Yeah, that's Ray. I'm trying to, you know, get through another show.
All right. Hey, do you like Basil Hayden?
Basil Hayden. Oh, I love it. It's great bourbon. Love it. Yeah. Why?
Yeah, that's what when I'm making my grape jam, that's what I'm drinking.
God bless you, man. Yeah, no, that's very good. It's one of my favorites. I also like Bullet. It's not that expensive.
Yeah? Okay.
It's very tasty stuff. Hey, Bob.
Hey, we'll have to talk.
You know, you woke me up. I talked about bourbon, and I'm awake. Hey, Bob, thanks a lot.
Okay, Si.
Have a good weekend. Yeah, let's go to Elaine in Albany. Elaine, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Good. I'm enjoying this show a lot.
Thanks.
What is creme fraiche, and how do I make it?
Oh, creme fraiche is something that you would probably buy. You would buy it like in the specialty cheese section of the grocery store, and it's basically like a French sour cream. So it's a little bit,
it's very thick.
Thick, tangier, and a little bit sweeter than regular sour cream. But if you can't find creme fraiche, I mean, just get a good sour cream. That's, people overlook that all the time, but it's really tasty to add some balance to a sweet dessert.
Oh, so yeah. It's not as sweet as whipped cream then?
No.
You don't use it the same way?
No. I mean, you could do a dollop of that instead of a dollop of whipped cream, and it's really, but it's tangy. It's tangy like a sour cream.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Have a great weekend. Over to Drea and Troy. You're on. Oh, you got to turn the radio down.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling from Troy, New York, and there are definitely several mulberry trees that are dropping berries now, and there's one right across the street from me and another one on the way up to RPI that I walk past in the morning. So I guess maybe Northampton doesn't have them yet, but definitely in Troy around the Capital District, they're full of berries and very sweet.
Wow, in tropical Troy, everything's blooming already, huh?
That's it.
Well, great. Well, thanks for the call.
So for all Troy people, go out and pick them because otherwise they end up all over the sidewalk.
True.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Over to Lisa in Kingston. Lisa, you're on with Deanna Fox.
Hi, I know where you can find mulberries in Kingston.
Okay.
All right. I used to live in the Fairmont Estate,
yes,
which is right off of Miller's Lane. And it's so if that woman who was looking for mulberries goes over to Fairmont Estate, right off of Miller's Lane in Kingston, they have mulberry bushes. They have mulberry trees there.
Do you think they might be upset if people start coming and taking all the mulberries?
No, no.
Are you sure?
Wait, what did you say?
Are you sure that you won't be upset? Yeah.
No way. Are you kidding me? Make a mess all over the sidewalk. Nobody even knows what they are.
Oh, really? Well, I guess that's what you said, Deanna.
Yeah. I mean, I had a similar experience last year. I was walking in the warehouse district in downtown Albany. And I came across a huge fence that was covered in Concord grapes. And nobody was going to pick them. And they were just dropping. So I clipped them and I made jam.
Yeah.
Nobody. I don't think that while I was living there, I don't think anyone knew what they were. They were just the messy berries that made a huge mess all over the sidewalk.
Mm.
So I don't think anyone would be upset if a few went missing.
And if they were, you could just give them jam.
Well, thanks, Lisa.
Right. And it's on the sidewalk. You're not going like, it's the sidewalk that they're between the parking area and the sidewalk.
Fair enough.
They're right where pedestrians would be.
Okay.
You're not going into the property.
Gotcha.
Hey,
well, thank you and have a great weekend. We appreciate it. Over to John quickly in Clifton Park. John, you got about 30 seconds here, bud.
Okay, thank you. I want to know what kind of seasonings I can add to olive oil to grill some fresh vegetables, like peppers and onions.
Dried oregano.
And maybe some potatoes.
Yeah.
To serve with steak.
Dried oregano, smoked paprika.
Smoked paprika.
Yeah.
Paprika and what?
So dried oregano.
Okay, dried oregano and paprika.
Yep, a paprika and a little bit of cumin would be really good too. And then salt and pepper.
Hey, John, we're just about out of time, but thank you for the call. Well, it really picked up steam, didn't it?
Yes, yeah.
It's quite something. Now, I see Ashley Kinsey and David Hopper over in Studio D. Mm-hmm. Does that mean they're going to drag you in for our podcast, Food Friday Leftovers?
I don't know, but, you know, I could talk summer desserts all day, so.
So you'll probably be stuck here for quite a while. And probably they're like, oh, did she bring any strawberry shortcake for me?
It's all for you, Ray. It's all gone.
See, that's what happens. These podcast kids, they only get the table scraps. Hey, thank you for coming.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you. Once again, it's not Food on Fox, but it's Fox on Food.
Fox on Food.
On Facebook. And we'll look for your piece on beef, and that'll be in the TU?
It will be in the TU. Yep. On most Thursdays, if you read Hearst newspapers, you'll find my work.
Very good. Yep. Well, Deanna Fox, we will see you probably sooner rather than later. Support comes from Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, now in their summer season, featuring local producer-only foods and handmade products every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on River Street in downtown Troy, troymarket.org. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York, cafecapriccio.com. And Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages, suttermeats.com. Thanks again for being with us on Food Friday and on Vox Pop all week long. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Barb King took your calls. That wasn't Barb King. That was Colleen O'Connell took your calls. Jessica Blaustein Marshall, our producer. Thanks again to Deanna Fox for being here. I'm Ray Graff. On Monday, Alan will be back in the big chair for a Medical Monday at 2 p.m. Have a great weekend. The news is next.